Some other things that aren't on the schedule, we're not going to talk about maintaining the church building. We have one lesson on the finances of the church, and that's an important subject, but it's not the only subject. To my mind, Westside has a three-part reputation. I believe we're known as a church that stands for truth. I think we're known as a church where sinners and the hurting can come and heal. And third, I think we're known as a church that has, for a great number of years now, been at peace. And those are among the most important things that a church can be known for. And so we're going to have lessons about maintaining peace, about teaching the truth, about helping the hurting. Those are the kind of things that we believe we do. And they're the lessons that we want to impart to you. I'll say one more thing before we get started with some scripture. In the 23 years that I've been able to serve here, I've had the opportunity to work with 9 different men as shepherds. It is my hope and prayer that if you get to serve as a shepherd, that you'll get to work with men like I have. They're among the finest men I've ever known. I appreciate them. I love them. And I hope that if you get to serve, that you'll work with men like that in the future. Now, I do want to spend some time in the scriptures. If you'll be turning to Acts, the 20th chapter, one of the things that you learn pretty quick is there aren't just tons of scripture about being an elder, especially once you get past the qualifications. But there are a few, and they're important. Probably the most famous is Acts 20 and Paul's admonition to the Ephesian elders. If you'll read with me beginning in verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" There's not a lot of passages about elders. That's a full passage. Just look at what Paul says are the jobs of the shepherds. He says, pay attention. Shepherds are appointed in part to watch the sheep, to guard them. He says, remember the value of the church. Jesus bought it with his blood. We should never take that for granted. He says to watch for wolves. Those are false teachers. Be careful about the teaching that goes on. He says to watch each other. One of the first reasons that we don't have just one elder is because we need to keep an eye on each other. Sometimes elderships have fallen prey to false teaching. And so we need to be careful about that. He says to be alert and admonish. In other words, keep teaching. He says keep studying, remembering that God's word is able to build you up. And finally, he says, don't covet, but work hard. If we do those things, we prove ourselves to be worthy of the calling of God. This is the job of shepherds, not maintaining the church building. Yes, maintenance on the building is necessary, but it's not why God wants elders in every church. God wants elders to teach His Word and to be certain that others don't teach falsehood. Now, I'm going to open it up for questions for a moment here. Questions or comments? And I'll especially take comments from our other shepherds. Any questions? Any thoughts? Help me out, Jim. Now, we do. These are the things we do. We keep an eye on what is taught here. We help each other out. And we want to help the hurting. We keep teaching. We keep studying. And that's what we're going to do. In comparison, what do bad shepherds look like? I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 34 for that. This is why I wanted comments, because I really didn't want to get to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is tough. Ezekiel 34 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beast. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beast, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. I cringe when I read those words. I think about this passage a lot because we have to keep asking ourselves, am I doing enough? Am I serving God's people? And I'll admit, some days I don't like the answer. But look particularly at the failures of these shepherds. They didn't feed the sheep. God's people need a steady diet of His Word. When they're not fed, they go astray. They go looking for other food. The shepherds were feeding themselves. Don't get in the shepherd business for money or fame. That kind of attitude can destroy a church quicker than anything else. They didn't strengthen the weak. That's important because if we don't strengthen the weak will take over and they'll all be weak. They didn't heal the hurting. They didn't seek the straying. We have to do better than that. The reason God requires His sheep at the hands of His shepherds is because that's why we're here in the first place. We're to be leaders, not in the way that our world views leaders. We are not CEOs. were not authoritarian figures. The elders do have some authority, that's true. But I think there's a very good reason that God chose shepherds as a metaphor for His leaders. Sheep are interesting animals. You can't drive them like you do cattle. In fact, it's hard to make sheep do anything. And you'll hear that sometimes. You'll hear people say, why don't the elders make so-and-so do this or do that? And Billy's very fond of saying, we can't make people do anything. So what do? We lead like shepherds. We try to set an example that causes others to want to follow us. With sheep, that works because as they begin to understand that the shepherd is trying to help them, a couple will follow. And once you get a couple to follow, then the rest of them will follow. With God's sheep, it works pretty much the same way. As people become convinced that their shepherds care about them, they'll follow, just like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Thoughts or questions on bad shepherds? Possibly. That's usually an individual thing. You notice somebody's not here, and you make an effort to go and talk to them or to encourage them in some way. Sometimes it's difficult with children. We try not to get too much in the way of parents. Because that's the parents' job, and so we try to give parents a little leeway, but yeah, we'll go and talk, and you know, eventually that could lead to discipline from the church, but it starts with trying to encourage people. Jim,
yeah, we have in place. Deacons. The deacons have a certain amount of people that are listed under their name, and what they do is they keep an eye on them also. And we ask all the deacons to look at their list. They have a checklist, and they see who's not there, and we ask them to, as an individual, as a deacon, to give them a call and see if there's anything that needs to be done. So that's one thing that we have. It becomes an individual thing.
And it's one of the hardest things, too, because a lot of times by the time you notice that somebody's not showing up, they've already quit on you. And when you try to encourage them, they don't want to talk to you. You know, we lose contact with people sometimes. People do it. You call a number and it's no longer there, and so it's hard. Our hope would be that if someone's struggling, they'll come to us first before they make that decision. That doesn't happen very often, I'll tell you that. And so we look for other signs. Those signs are not always easy to spot, but that's what we do. Paul?
Thank you.
Yeah, and one other thing that we try to do is, you know, all of us pretty much teach at some point or another. And so usually in a Bible class, you can develop some relationships in that way. And so we make efforts in that direction. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts? Yeah, who have been asked to serve and didn't want to, that's okay. In fact, that leads me where I want to go next, because you read this and you may be thinking, that sounds really hard. Why would anybody want to do this? If you fail, God's going to require it at your hand. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Sometimes the work of shepherding can be difficult. You get blamed for a lot of things that you don't have any control over. If the building's too cold or too hot, you get blamed. If the sound system doesn't perform like it's supposed to, you get blamed. If a guest speaker is, to put it delicately, less than enthralling, sometimes you get blamed. And those are all small things. Nothing hurts worse than one of your sheep deciding, I'm not going to serve God anymore. Unless it's the fact that they're also willing to lash out at you and say, you're strict following of God's word is the reason I'm not going to serve God anymore. You're too strict. So shepherding can be hard. So why do it? Let me see if I can give you a few reasons why you should desire this office. One is, most of you are already doing it. You're shepherding families. That's not entirely parallel. Dads can actually make their kids do some things. But we'll say more in just a moment about why God chooses family leaders. But we also do it because God desires it. Paul told Titus that he left him in Crete so that he could appoint elders in every church. Peter told elders to serve as God would have you. God wants leaders in His church so that His people are not so easily lost. We do it to ensure that God's word is taught. The passage we looked at earlier in Acts chapter 20, one of the ways we guard against the wolves is to make sure that the sheep know what truth sounds like, so that when they hear falsehood, they recognize it and immediately run away, just like a sheep would if they heard the growl of the wolf. From Ezekiel 34, we feed the sheep, and that means we make it easy for them to get good food from God's word. And finally, we do it because we love our brethren. So let's talk about shepherding families. Why do the qualifications include being the husband of one wife and being a father? In our day, some people would say those are exclusionary. They're not fair to single men or to the childless. But God knows and sees the kind of sacrifices that good husbands and good fathers have to make to lead their families. And when we make those kinds of sacrifices, we understand what it means to have to make sacrifices for God's people. If we don't love God's people and we're not willing to make sacrifices for them, we'll be lousy elders. I'll just say that. You have to love God's people. But I'd say one other thing to help influence you to desire this work, and that is it offers great reward. No, there's not any money in it. In fact, most of the time, it'll end up costing you money. When people come here begging for money, we don't give them money out of the treasury. We generally reach into our own pockets. And you know, Paul makes the case in 1 Timothy 5 that elders could be paid for their work. We haven't ever done that, and we're probably not going to start anytime soon. But there is great reward. And one of them I've already talked about, and that's your association with your fellow shepherds. They'll support you when you're weary. They'll stand beside you in a fight. They'll teach you by their example how to lead and care for God's people. And you'll also learn how that, because we all have different personalities, there are different ways to lead God's people and help God's people. I'll give you an example. I've told this story. Some of you have heard it before. One night, a couple came in, and they were furious with the elders. They wanted to hang us about a decision that we'd made. And so they started talking, and after they had their say, Brother Hoot Smith started talking. And he complimented them for the work that they'd done for the church, told them how much we appreciated that, and then he very gently explained how difficult this decision had been for us to make, how we'd prayed about it, and how important it was to have the support of good people like them. And everything changed. They started to talk about how much they loved us. And by the time they left, they were 100% on our side. They had always been on our side. They weren't even mad at us. They walked out, and we were flabbergasted. We said, Hoot, how in the world did you do that? And Hoot just kind of waved his arms and said, oh, hey, babe, when you've had five mamas in your office on Monday morning wanting to know why their kid wasn't the starting quarterback, you learn a little diplomacy. See how his experience in the real world had helped prepare him to lead. It's pretty easy to see from that story why God wants men who are well thought of by outsiders. And partly because of how much Hoot had to deal with the public, I don't think I've ever met anybody who was more well thought of by outsiders. And it's rewarding to watch men like that work. And I can tell you stories about all of the guys that I've worked with. I told you that one about Hoot because Hoot's not here anymore and nobody else would be embarrassed. But working with God's people is rewarding too. There are a few things that bring more joy than seeing someone who's been kind of a marginal Christian and see them begin to take steps to serve God better, or to watch someone who struggled with sin begin to overcome it. And a lot of times that can be two steps forward and one step back. But you learn to rejoice at the two steps forward and to encourage at the one step back. And I'll admit that I am spoiled when it comes to serving as a shepherd, because this is such a good church. People here want to serve God. People here give generously. And if you'll forgive probably a poor grammar, this is the Bible readingest church I've ever seen. It says a lot that every November, people start asking what it'll be for next year. Let me give you an example of the goodness of this church, though. Every year for the last 17 years, Westside has sponsored what's come to be known as the Westside Preacher Conference. And it's a learning experience for preachers, especially young preachers. And whenever possible, at least one of your shepherds will try to attend and answer questions, particularly for young preachers who aren't working with elders. And it's good for those preachers. Westside gets very little out of that. But our people help get ready for it. They pray about it. They're proud of it. That's a sign of a good church. This is a church that loves the preaching of God's Word. And so they want to do things that will help support that. And sometimes shepherding does require that you spend a good deal of time with the wayward or the struggling. But when you take time to step back and examine the bigger picture, you realize how many people in this flock you don't ever have to rebuke. They don't ever come to you with a problem. And when you have to make a difficult decision, they support you. They just keep moving forward, striving to serve God, doing their best to do what's right. And as shepherds, we need to appreciate all of those people. And those rewards are plenty to make you desire the work of a shepherd. But there's one more reward that trumps all others. We talked about Ezekiel chapter 34 and the condemnation of bad shepherds and how God said, I will require it of your hand. Imagine then what judgment day will be like for the shepherds that God approves of. When someone points you out and says, that's one of my shepherds. He's the reason I'm here. The most important reasons to be a shepherd are because you love God, you love His people, and you want to do anything possible to help all of them go to heaven. And it is my prayer that you will choose to set yourself on that path. Any questions, comments? We need questions and comments now because I'm out. We got about 5 minutes left. Doc?
Why don't you talk to us about how scared you were when you were asked to be an elder?
Yeah, I was 40 years old. Yes, I thought I was too young. In some ways, I probably was. The three men who were serving at that time encouraged me, there are days I'm still scared. There are days I read those qualifications, I read Ezekiel 34, and I think, I am not an elder. But you have supported me. These guys here on the front row and John, Billy in the auditorium, they have supported me through some difficult times. And as I say here, looking back, it's worth it. The rewards of shepherding are tremendous. But it does cause trepidation. And you other guys want to comment on that?
Sleepless nights.
Yeah? Yeah? John?
Says it's a good thing, and he wants churches to have elders. And if people say no because of the fear, God's will won't be in effect. And that's what I kept coming back to, was people have to do this because this is what God wants. And sometimes doing what God wants isn't what is the easiest or the most comfortable thing for us in any part of our life, not just one. That's something that everybody kind of has to come to grips with. Who is qualified to be an elder? Is that last one is that desire, and that's a hard one, but it's understanding that that's what God wants.
You know, and I can't overemphasize the idea. Every time that we read about elders or shepherds in the Bible, it's always plural. And you know, this is a job that one man can't do. We have seven. Sometimes it's not enough. I can't imagine. There were times when I was growing up when Westside had two elders. And I can't imagine what it was like for them. We have seven now. We'd like to have more. That's one reason we're having this class. But the fact that we have seven guys who can do this work and who encourage each other, and yeah, there are some long nights, but there have been some nights in elders meetings where we had some fun. It was good. There's a lot of laughter in that room sometimes. So I would tell you, it is something to consider. It is trepidatious, but it's worth it. Doc?
I would just like to say this to all the men here. Whether you're asked to be an elder or whether you're asked to be a deacon, really asked to teach a Bible class, really serve God in more capacity other than just sitting in a seat and listening, there is a certain amount of fear that you will face and have to deal with. But especially when you're asked to be an elder or a deacon, you start looking at those qualifications, and all you can see is how unworthy you are of meeting those qualifications, because you're going to start looking at your life and seeing all these imperfections that maybe others don't see, but you know you have. And yet, what you have to understand is that, you know, you wouldn't be asked to be serving if those imperfections were going to interfere with your service. But I think there's that fear of wow, I'm not worthy of this, but like John said, I mean, it's a job that needs to be done. It's a job God wants you to do. So just understand if you probably are having fear, you probably don't need to be an elder or a deacon. It just comes with it. And because that really exhibits that you have a humble spirit and you have the right kind of heart. And those are the kind of men and women, too, but especially the kind of men that God wants leading his church.
If you think you meet the qualifications, ask your wife. All right. So Wednesday night, Billy will teach us